Laura Kanoy here. Thanks for listening to The Exchange. You'll hear several viewpoints and many interesting questions in this hour from people all over the state. There's no other place in New Hampshire where such a broad array of Granite Staters chime in and foster such a robust exchange of ideas. And as important as you are to the depth of the conversation, you also play a pivotal role in NHPR's finances. We're radio for New Hampshire by New Hampshire. Please click the support button at the top of the page at nhpr.org. From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. In 2010, State Senator Maggie Hassan's rising political career was put on hold as she and many other Statehouse Democrats lost their seats in a Republican wave election. But in politics, 2 years is a long time, and today Hassan finds herself the Democratic nominee for governor in a close race with Republican Ovid Lamontagne. As she campaigns, Hassan often presents herself as the natural successor to New Hampshire's popular governor, John Lynch, who endorsed her this week at an event in Concord. Addressing the crowd there, Hassan also repeated a frequent theme that her governorship would provide a bulwark against what she calls extremists in the legislature.
We can continue bringing people together to move New Hampshire forward, or we can go in the direction of Speaker Bill O'Brien and the current legislature, where the needs of middle-class families take a back seat to an extreme social agenda.
But Republicans say Hassan's no middle ground politician. They put her much further to the left than Governor Lynch, who made his name being bipartisan. This hour on The Exchange, Democratic gubernatorial candidate Maggie Hassan is with us, and let's hear from you. Your questions about where former Senator Hassan stands on the issues and what you hope the next governor does for our state. Also, if you're still undecided in this race, what more do you need to know about the candidates for governor, especially our guest today, Democrat Maggie Hassan? The exchange number is 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR, or send us a short email, the address exchange@nhpr.org. We also welcome your comments on our Facebook page. And Senator Hassan, thank you for making the time. I know this has been a crazy busy campaign season for you.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Well, as I said, Governor Lynch endorsed you this week, a welcome event, I'm sure. But despite positive news on a budget surplus, New Hampshire unemployment is creeping up again, 5.7% in August. A new report from the Public Policy Center questions whether our economy will continue to be the regional standout that it has long, long been. What does this say, Senator Hassan, about the economic leadership, the economic policies of Governor Lynch?
Well, when I was working with Governor Lynch and Democrats were working with Governor Lynch up through 2010, we had one of the lowest unemployment rates in the country, one of the lowest tax burdens in the country. We had cut our high school dropout rate in half. And then the 2010 elections came, and we have seen actions by that group, which for lack of a better term, I'll call a Tea Party legislature, which has slashed spending to higher education and to infrastructure, among other things. And so we have been slipping economically because the budget they passed has really gone to muscle, not fat. And a CNBC survey issued this summer said we've gone from 10th to 34th economically because of those cuts to higher education and infrastructure.
Although just yesterday, numbers were released showing that the state has a surplus, almost $14 million, and the Republicans said, hey, this is good news. The bond rating agencies will like it. It's good for our economy. It makes us look good to have this surplus.
Well, we had a surplus in the 2009 budget that we passed with Governor Lynch, too. So, and right now, what this is an unaudited report saying that there's a surplus, and that's in large part due as well to very good management in the executive branch. One of the things that Governor Lynch led on and a number of us were part of the team doing was making sure that in addition to passing a responsible budget, a balanced budget, a tough budget at the height of the worst economy since the Great Depression, we also made sure that we were supporting measures, ongoing budgetary management measures in the executive branch, and that's something that Governor Lynch has continued to do.
Although that budget balance that you called it, boy, that's been a subject of debate. I mean, Republicans say you did it with fuzzy math and borrowing and all sorts of tricks. So,
well, you know what? The auditors who, the impartial auditors who come in and look at states' budgets every year said it was balanced with a surplus, and I think it's important that we all be fact-based. And one of the things that's been difficult in dealing with this group of Republicans in the legislature legislature is that they haven't generally agreed to facts that they did, you know, that they don't like.
Well, you talked earlier about, you know, the economic leadership of Governor Lynch. I asked you about that. And are you basically then, Senator Hassan, laying the rising unemployment here in New Hampshire, concerns about our future growth, are you laying that at the feet of the legislature?
I'm saying that if you don't have a plan that moves the state forward, if you don't have a practice of bringing people together and looking at what's really necessary to build the economy, you're going to see slippage. And I think that this group has really focused on an extreme and divisive agenda that has left our middle-class families and our state's infrastructure needs behind at a time when we should be coming together. I have an innovation plan, and one of the things that it really focuses on, having listened to businesses around the state while I was in the state Senate and now as a gubernatorial candidate, they are focused on the fact that we have jobs that we can't fill in this state. So here we have an unemployment rate that's creeping up. We have people who want jobs. We have businesses who need workers. And there's a mismatch. And what my innovation plan does is focus on tax credits, technical assistance to businesses, and the provision of a skilled and strong workforce to get at exactly what the public policy report that you talked about and what our businesses are telling us we really need. And you contrast that innovation plan with what's been happening in the legislature, a legislature that my opponent supports and praises. You know, what they really did was put economic development plans to the side. There was one bipartisan piece of economic development legislation that came out of this legislature to double the research and development tax credit, something I support and is called for in my innovation plan. And that didn't go through because the legislature decided that they'd put social issues onto it. So I don't think that that's the way we should go forward.
It made it out of the Senate, but then in the House that happened.
Right.
Is that correct?
That's right.
Right. And I definitely want to ask you about the education component of your innovation plan later on down the line. But two more questions just on the governor and the legislature. You know, and I hear you putting the blame for some of the economic slippage we've seen on the legislature. But, you know, Governor Lynch is the chief executive. He's been there for a long time. I mean, are there actions that he could have taken for our economy that he didn't?
We all worked really hard together to move our state forward. And I think the record of Governor Lynch's leadership and my leadership supports that forward motion. We were challenged in 2008 and 2009 with an economic crisis that was a national and global phenomenon. And I'm very proud of the fact that during that time, we balanced the budget. You have to balance the budget. That's a prerequisite to having a strong economy. And we made very difficult choices. Our revenues plummeted about 25% pretty much overnight. And yet we were able to balance the budget while protecting the citizens and the economy of our state. And I think that that was a significant accomplishment. There is still a lot of hard work to do. We are recovering gradually. And so that's why we focused in the innovation plan on these aspects, doubling the research and development tax credit, leveraging our universities and colleges throughout the state with their expertise in things like marketing or international trade or research to help our businesses so that they can grow. And then again, getting at the need for a skilled workforce. So I'm focused on restoring the cuts to the university system. But in exchange for that, the university system needs to freeze its tuition so our families can afford college in New Hampshire. Our young people are leaving right now, a problem that the public policy report and others have pointed to. It's less expensive to go to college in other states. And once people leave, they're not going to come back. So we focus on that. And then we focus at K through 12 education too, as a way of making sure we have the kind of homegrown workforce we need. That's in sharp contrast to my opponent, who has said the focus on education in my innovation plan is, quote, putting the cart before the horse. And I think if we don't focus there, we're going to have a horse and buggy economy.
You're clearly hoping that if elected governor, you won't have to work with the same legislature that you've repeatedly right. criticized, as you have this morning, Tea Party extremists. But Senator Hassan, what if lots of these folks are reelected? After you've been sort of disparaging them throughout your whole campaign, how are you going to work with them?
Well, the way politicians who are committed to change always do, which is that you build relationships with people. I have a strong bipartisan record in the state Senate. My first term, I was a member of the minority party. My second two terms, I was a member of the majority party. And in both roles, I worked with members of the other party to pass important legislation. So the New Hampshire Working Program that we passed with Governor Lynch, that was a bipartisan effort, as was the Research and Development Tax Credit, as was an effort that I led in my very first term as a member of the minority when we stood up to insurance companies that were discriminating against sick workers. We put together a coalition of Democrats and Republicans and reversed that failed law. So you build relationships, you find out what each other care about, but there is a fundamental difference here about what we see as the role of our citizen government in New Hampshire and whether we're going to come together and move forward and solve challenges or whether we're going to follow a path that has been as destructive as it has been. Things like the 50% cut to the university system, cuts to our school system budgets that have created overcrowded classrooms. Those are things that we really do need to work on reversing.
I'm just wondering if Bill O'Brien is elected speaker again. I mean, he's been kind of the poster child for your campaign of everything that's wrong with the legislature. We played some sound in the beginning of the program today saying Bill O'Brien taking us back. So how are you going to work with him after all that?
Well,
language?
I mean, you reach out and you try very hard to build a relationship. But, you know, that's Governor Lynch has a great record of working with people. And yet when Bill O'Brien came in, he was pursuing an agenda and didn't seem to have a lot of interest in collaboration. And one of the things governors have to balance is the need to work together, but also the need to stand up for the people of New Hampshire. And we have families who are being left behind by this approach of meat cleaver kind of cuts to a budget that has decimated, for instance, our hospitals, the people who need health care in the state, the people who are working at the hospitals. We need a governor who will also stand up, and I hope very much to work with the legislature. But if that doesn't happen, if they pursue a rigid and extreme agenda, I'll stand up for the people in New Hampshire.
Our number for you to join us here in the exchange is 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. This hour, we're taking your questions about where former Senator Maggie Hassan stands on the issues and more generally what you hope the next governor does for our state. Give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to this conversation with gubernatorial candidate Maggie Hassan during NHPR's Fall Member Drive. We're glad to bring you this important conversation with limited fundraising interruption this hour to leave you as much time as possible for your questions to the candidate. But remember that this New Hampshire forum, this exchange, is made possible with the generous financial support of you, our members. Please visit NHPR.org to become a sustaining member and help us with our new member challenge today. Thanks. Support for NHPR comes from UR members and from Antioch University New England in Keene, offering 7 different master's and doctoral programs in environmental studies, antiochne.edu. From Goff Wilson, a global immigration law firm helping businesses and individuals achieve successful immigration solutions, online at goffwilson.com. And the Common Man Family's Company store in Ashland, full of gift ideas from New Hampshire-made products to Common Man gear. Information and ordering at theseaman.com. New Hampshire weather for today, sunny and breezy. High temperatures 50 to 55 in northern New Hampshire, 55 to 60 elsewhere in the state. Clouding up tonight, northern areas of the state may see a few showers overnight. There'll be some snowfall in the White Mountains in the overnight. Lows tonight 35 to 40 in the north, around 40 in the south. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, we're talking with Democratic gubernatorial candidate Maggie Hassan, and we invite you to join us, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Send a short email to exchange@nhpr.org or post a comment on our Facebook page. We want to know your questions about where State Senator Hassan stands on the issues as she runs for governor, what her plans would be if she wins, and if you're still undecided in this race, what more information do you need about Maggie Hassan and Republican Over the Montane before you make your choice? Our number is 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. And Senator Hassan, a couple more questions before we go to our listeners. You've talked a lot this hour already about restoring cuts that the legislature made, especially to the university system. You've also talked about restoring money for roads and infrastructure. What other cuts would you like to restore? And altogether, how much money are we talking about?
Well, thank you for the question. I've talked about the fact that we need to make sure that we have the kind of infrastructure and education system that will move our economy forward. And unlike my opponent, I've actually put concrete proposals forward about how I would actually pay for it. So let's talk a little bit about this. First of all, we're not going to do this all at once because we're in a recovering economy. And first and foremost, you have to have a balanced budget. We have to do that without an income or sales tax, which I oppose and would veto. So one of the things, though, we could do is look at some of the decisions this last legislature made and reverse them. So we need to restore the cuts to the university system. They cut that budget by 50% while cutting the cigarette tax, saying to our young people, smoke more, study less. I think that that's a decision we should look at reversing. Similarly, they laid off auditors in our Department of Revenue. Auditors not only pay for themselves, they bring in revenue from people who should be paying it. They're the folks who make sure that everybody's paying their fair share. And that has cost us considerable dollars. When we look at other sources of revenue, one of the things I've said is that I would support one high-end, highly regulated casino near the Massachusetts border to compete now with what Massachusetts is doing, because otherwise our gambling revenues, which are substantial, we have a lot of people who gamble in the state, and our rooms and meals revenue associated with that would go down to Massachusetts to build their roads, bridges, and schools, but we'd still have the social and safety concerns that can come with gambling. So I'd rather do that on our side of the border. And one of the differences I have with my opponent there is that he has pre-selected a location that also happens to be, it's Rockingham, which happens to be a client of his law firm's. I think we should have an open and competitive bidding process. Just one. So we can make sure we have the best deal possible for the state. And then we're going to have to do the kind of work you do, which is really look at what you've got. The other thing I want to do is make sure that we're taking advantage of options to accept federal money for some of our needs. And that's around healthcare in particular, as well as transportation. That's a place where my opponent and I have disagreed.
That's the Affordable Care Act. Well, you would support the expansion of Medicaid.
Well, I would. Look, there's $1.1 billion that would come into the New Hampshire economy helping working families afford health insurance through Medicaid for the first time. And it would help our hospitals be able to sustain the kind of health care that we need for the citizens of New Hampshire. And Ovid has said that he wouldn't accept that money he's basically said he wouldn't accept that money. I think that's a mistake at a time when other federal funding for our hospitals is going away. So those are some of the differences. And Ovid's also been clear that he would reject other federal money as federal money that would have allowed us to establish our own health care exchange in the state. He supported the rejection of that money. As chair of the Board of Education, he rejected millions of federal dollars for our schools. And I think that that's the type of thing that we should be looking to do. New Hampshire federal income taxpayers are donor payers. We don't get our fair share of our federal income taxes back, and I think we should.
Well, and in fairness, and we're hoping to bring in Mr. LaMontagne soon. So he can speak for himself, but he has said, I would accept federal money for Medicaid expansion as a block grant so I have more flexibility. He's not saying, no, I don't want it.
I think his position to be clear, has shifted on that, but that's not an option under the Affordable Care Act. So it's kind of wishful thinking on his part. And he's also talked about opting out of our federal Medicare program, either by block granting it or supporting a bill that the legislature passed that would have had us opt out and have the legislature and private insurance companies with no regulation run health care for our seniors, which I think would be a mistake.
Let's go to our listeners, and then I have a lot more questions for you. Senator Hassan, our number here in the exchange is 1-800-892-6477. Today on the exchange, it's the Democratic gubernatorial nominee, Maggie Hassan. She served in the state Senate for 6 years, including time as Senate Majority Leader. We're taking your questions and comments at 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. And first up is John in Guilford. Hi, John, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello, good morning. How are you?
Fine.
I'm calling for my great concern about the lack of funding for mental health care. I've had a young man who has gone to the local ER on two occasions with police escort, and after 8 hours, he was told there's nothing they could do. They just told him to go home. In other cases, there's people who have been tied down to the bed for more than 2 days in LRGH. Because there's no beds available in Concord. And this, these people do not go away. And what's happening is the local communities, the police force, the counties are all paying for what Concord has done by cutting the budget and saying, oh, we've done a good job in balancing the budget. And this is very concerning to me. So I'm hoping that Maggie would be looking at, you know, this issue of particularly for people with mental health emergencies.
And John, when you say tied down for 2 days at LRGH, that's Laconia Regional General Hospital.
Yes,
so they're,
right.
You're saying because of mental health cuts, the police and our hospitals are having to pick up the slack.
Right. Now, they have to have a police officer outside the emergency room, the room where that individual is, you know, all the time that they're there. And if the person's seriously a danger to themselves, they may have to be tied down to the bed before this room, because it's a waiting list for the beds. There's only half as many beds as it used to be.
All right. John, thanks a lot for calling in. And this is an area that has raised a lot of concerns. I've heard Senator Hassan from Republicans that this is also an area where they would like to restore some funding.
John, thank you for the call and for raising the issue, because it's a critical issue. It's one that many families and individuals in New Hampshire grapple with. And it's a challenging struggle in and of itself. And then when you add the fact of the lack of resources right now for mental health because of these cuts, it's even worse. So I thank you for the call. It is a priority of mine. I have been talking to both hospitals and police departments and police officers about this issue, and I'm very proud of the fact that the Manchester Police and Patrolmen's Association endorsed me. And one of the things they've talked to me about is that they are on the front lines of mental health care right now, and the hospitals have also been pointing out how much of a challenge this is for their emergency room personnel. So we need to find the funds to, again, begin restoring some of these cuts. And it's one of the things that accepting the money from the federal government through the Affordable Care Act would help us have better resources to do. It doesn't solve the problem completely. We continue need to look at building a much better community-based mental health system, one similar to the one that we used to have and that used to get national recognition, which is better for human beings and better for our budget and better for the economy.
So a couple questions along the lines of how you would pay for restoring this and the university money and so forth. And by the way, John, thanks a lot for that call. So first off, Senator Hassan, you mentioned the cigarette tax, restoring that 10-cent cut that the legislature made. But Governor Lynch said yesterday the state lost $12 million due to that cut in fiscal 2012. Okay, that's a decent chunk of change, but it's not nearly enough to restore, you know, a $50 million university cut or bring the mental health system back to full capacity.
Yeah. Well, and I outlined some of the other things I would do, which are concrete steps, and also have been very direct with people that this doesn't necessarily happen overnight. But I want to, again, elections are about choices. This is a very stark choice in this election. My opponent has identified owe close to $300 or $400 million of restorations that he wants to make, while at the same time saying that without specifying how he's going to pay for it. He wants the state parks to be free. He wants to restore the $150 million cuts to hospitals. And he hasn't identified any ways of paying for these things, and I have. And so in addition, he has talked about further budget cuts, which will decimate either our local schools or other services, depending on what cuts he's talking about. So people should understand that I've balanced a budget. I've done it without an income or sales tax, which I oppose. I've got some concrete plans about how to begin to restore funding. But this is the kind of work that you need to do by bringing people together. I hope we have a legislature after this next election that will be focused on how we come together to begin to invest in the things we need to so we can build a stronger economy.
Well, he said that with lower business taxes, less regulation, greater efficiency in state government, you know, you can achieve those revenues and those savings without devastating programs like mental health that our caller called about.
Well, he has identified about $400 million of new spending he wants to make. That's about a third of our general fund budget. And he has said that he's talked about some vague efficiencies and at one point said he could maybe with IT save $300 million, which is a quarter of our general fund budget. That's the amount of our entire general fund payroll. I think that's wishful thinking, too. Meanwhile, I've put forward a plan of budget reforms that will actually improve efficiency in state government as well, and happy to talk about those more, too.
All right. And we hope to be speaking with Mr. LaMontagne again later on during this campaign season. So we'll let him speak for himself at this point. But let's go back to our listeners and hear what they are concerned about. Danielle's up from Manchester. Hi, Danielle. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I was wondering if Candidate Hassan could comment on the current, what appears to be an assault on the judiciary in New Hampshire. Speaker O'Brien restored an old grievance committee that is trying to impeach judges and marital masters and eliminated the master's position and the backlog in state courts. Seems like a little spoken about topic, but one which really affects a lot of my friends that have been trying to get marital hearings before the courts and issues with children being subjected to months and months of waiting for orders for out of domestic issues. And I would like to know what her opinion is on that and how she would try to remedy that situation in the state court.
Okay, Danielle, thanks a lot. And Senator Hassan, just to let you know and Danielle know, we're doing a whole program on this next Monday. So we'll have more detailed answers for you next week. So if you just want to address
Danielle,
her question.
Thank you for the question. I'm a business lawyer and a member of the New Hampshire Bar and am very concerned about the state of our court system. In 2009, as part of that tough budget that we put together, we did make some difficult cuts in the judiciary, but I think we did it as carefully as we could, and it was still a functioning system. It has been cut even further, and you're right. The real lives of real people around the state are affected when you can't get, for instance, a custody hearing or a child support hearing or a divorce hearing for long, long stretches of time. A divorced father talked to me the other day who said it had taken 18 months to get into court about a custody issue with his young child. 18 months is an enormous length of time in the life of a child. So it is something we need to look at. I look forward to working with the judicial branch on these issues as governor. But at the end of the day, what this is really about is respecting the judicial branch as a completely independent third branch of government. And I think more than anything at the core of what's happened in the last 2 years with this particular legislature is that that respect for that independent third branch of government has not been there.
I want to ask you about another issue that you mentioned a moment ago. Again, in terms of where the revenue comes from to restore the courts, the mental health system, the university system, and so forth, you mentioned earlier that you would favor one, what you called, tightly regulated high-end casino. I'm sure you're familiar, Senator Hassan, with the New Hampshire Center for Public Policy Studies report on gambling expansion. One thing that jumped out at me from that, actually two things. One is gambling revenue nationwide is down as incomes have stagnated. Here in New Hampshire, lottery sales are off 30%. So we don't really know how much money this would bring in, especially, and this is the second point they raised, we don't know where Massachusetts is going to put its casinos, and that matters too. So I'm just wondering whether you will achieve the success that you hope to achieve, given these uncertainties.
Well, certainly in a bad economy, a lot of businesses have off revenues or see a decrease in revenues. And one of the things you have to do is you have to be very realistic and up to date in your analysis about what you think you can expect. But it's not a reason not to do it just because with a national and global economic decline that you saw revenues declining in that sector as well, you do need to work together to be clear in your analysis, realistic in what you can expect. But again, I don't think people are going to stop gambling in New Hampshire, and the presence of casinos in Massachusetts, and there will be some, tell us that we will be losing revenue down there, not just gambling revenue, but rooms and meals revenue. I'd like to keep it here and also be able to regulate the activity here in a way that makes sense for New Hampshire residents and not be at the mercy of what Massachusetts decides to do.
Well, Danielle, again, thanks for that call. Our number, 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. And to Gilmanton next, Gary's on the line. Gary, thanks for calling the Exchange. Go ahead. You're on with Senator Hassan.
Thank you for taking my call. It is reported, I don't know what the exact number is, but it's been reported that our business tax is one of the highest in the nation. And I'm kind of curious as to how it got this far, got this way, and nothing was done under Governor Lynch's, or under his reign, if you will, for the 8 years that he's been there. No one has changed it. And it seems to me a no-brainer that if we have one of the highest taxes, then it will keep businesses away. And if we lowered it, how do we make up for lowering it? Or what are your views on this?
Yeah, it's a great question, Gary. Thanks a lot. And your opponent over the Montane has said he will lower business taxes. Go ahead, Senator Hassan.
Right, which will, again, cost the budget enormously, and he hasn't told us what he's going to do, what kind of cuts he would accompany with it. But let's talk a little bit about the fact that just recently, New Hampshire was rated about the fifth friendliest place for businesses in the country. And we have one of the lowest overall tax burdens in the country, something we work really hard. I oppose an income or sales tax, and that's one of the reasons we have such a low overall tax burden.
Okay, and we will talk a lot more after a short break. So stay on the line and keep it right here.
You're listening to this conversation with gubernatorial candidate Maggie Hassan during NHPR's Fall Member Drive. We're glad to bring you this important conversation with limited fundraising interruptions this hour to leave you as much time as possible for your questions to the candidate. But remember that this New Hampshire forum, this exchange, is made possible with the generous financial support of you, our members. Please visit NHPR.org to become a sustaining member and help us with our new member challenge. Thanks. Support for NHPR comes from You Are Members and from the Altus Investment Group in Concord, offering fee-only investment management and helping individuals invest in socially responsible companies online at altusinvest.com. And from New Hampshire Institute of Politics, presenting Dr. Jean Edward Smith, author of Eisenhower in War and Peace, October 11th at 7 p.m., anselm.edu/NHIOP. New Hampshire weather for today, sunshine, some passing clouds, breezy, highs 50 in northern parts of the state, ranging to 60 in southern New Hampshire. Tonight, clouding up, chance of a few showers north of the White Mountains, some snowfall over the mountains, lows 35 to 40 across northern and central areas of the state, around 40 in southern New Hampshire. Tomorrow, clouds with a chance of a morning shower, some afternoon sunshine developing, breezy, highs from 45 in the north country, ranging to 55 in southern parts of the state. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, Democratic gubernatorial candidate Maggie Hassan is with us. And we invite you to join our conversation, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. You can send us an email if you'd like, exchange@nhpr.org, or post a comment on our Facebook page. And Senator Hassan, I want to turn now with you to energy issues, and especially the Northern Pass Project. And almost everybody knows, but just a quick summary, this is the big hydropower proposal to bring hydro energy down from Canada through New Hampshire onto the New England grid. The placement of towers and power lines has been hugely controversial. Both you and Mr. LaMontagne have said you'd like to see those power lines buried so they don't ruin the landscape, as critics say they will. But the companies involved have said repeatedly, that's not feasible. So where does that leave us?
Well, thanks for the question. I did, Laura, want to just finish up on that last call just to say that
Gary's question about business taxes.
In addition to having a low overall tax burden, when I talk with businesses, what they're really focused on is making sure we have the educational and transportation infrastructure for their businesses to grow. And that's what our innovation plan focuses on. The innovation plan also provides targeted tax credits. I would double the research and development tax credit for businesses that are trying to develop new technologies and industries to come to our state and stay here to grow. But contrast here, I have talked about the fact that we need to come together to figure out how we're going to, for instance, complete the widening of I-93. We have got businesses down in the southern part of our state waiting to find out what's going to happen with that project before they will expand. So it's really important that we have a complete view of what it is that our business community is asking us to focus on. And I think, we are always concerned about making sure that we're competitive nationally on all sorts of levels. But right now, what the businesses are all telling me is they want to focus on targeted tax credits, infrastructure, and education so we have the skilled workforce that will allow us to compete.
To the energy question, but since you brought up the roads, I definitely want to ask you about that. You have also said we need to, quote, have a conversation about possibly increasing tolls or possibly raising the gas tax, which hasn't gone up in 20 years, and possibly using those sources to help complete the infrastructure projects that you say everybody wants. In some people's minds, Senator Hassan, though, have a conversation is code for I might raise this tax or toll. What should voters take away from that? Have a conversation.
What voters should know is that we need to come together and figure out how we're going to fund critical infrastructure. We have a 10-year plan, and it is, again, this elections are about choices, and the choice in this one is very stark. My opponent has said that we need to study our infrastructure more, even though we have a 10-year plan. And the only suggestion he has made for funding, for instance, the completion of I-93 widening, is to use Garvey bonds, which is borrowing from the federal government, with respect to my opponent, he rejects accepting federal money with no strings attached. But now he's saying he would just use Garvey bonds, borrowing from the federal government for that, which would then require that we spend about a third of our actual transportation budget moving forward for the next 7 to 10 years on repaying those Garvey bonds rather than doing our infrastructure. So we do need to come together. I'm very concerned about the cost of gasoline and commuting on families. And so I think it's really important that we look at seeing if we can get better federal funding, not just Garvey bonds. And we need to look at possible public-private partnerships around transportation infrastructure because I do think that gas is very expensive right now and our families are struggling right now. So we need to find alternative ways to make sure we're getting that infrastructure done.
So is that a maybe on the gas toll, the gas increase, gas tax increase, and the possible increase in tolls?
It's a commitment to coming together and talking with people throughout the state about what they think makes sense, and we're going to take it a step at a time.
Okay, so to the Northern Pass question then, you've said again that you'd like to see the power lines buried. We've talked to the companies involved multiple times. Every time they say, we can't do that. Where does that leave us with this project and with the future of alternative energy in our state?
A couple of things. This is a project that would bring through our state the power from hydropower, which is an alternative renewable source, which is a good thing. It's not clear it benefits New Hampshire's energy picture or lowers our rates considerably. So one of the things that we need to do is make sure that there's a benefit to the state from this. But I think I'd take slight issue with the way you posed the question early on, Laura, which is this. I don't think the opposition is just about, quote, landscape. I think it's about whether we're going to honor our tourism and travel industry, the second largest industry we have in the state, with towers that would go well above the tree line in critical parts of our state. And I think I opposed the first proposal because it didn't take community input around those issues into account. If you're running a bed and breakfast in the North Country and all of a sudden there's a tower literally in your backyard, that can impact your business, and that's something we should be thinking about very closely. I also think the first plan allowed for eminent domain for private profit, and I don't think that's appropriate. That's something I worked to limit when I was in the state Senate when we passed a constitutional amendment about it. The businesses involved, the proponents of Northern Pass involved, have raised concerns about burying the lines. But there are other business entities who have done it successfully here in New England. And so I think it's appropriate for a governor and for citizens to push the sponsors of the program a little bit to say, are you sure? Let's find out how, you know, when they say it's non-feasible, what's the basis of that? And I think any project going forward has to have community support.
Our number again on the exchange is 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page. And Senator Hassan, let's go back to our callers. And Sharon's coming in from Dover. Hi, Sharon. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to totally support Maggie Hassan and her acceptance of federal funds, especially in health care, and I am very, very concerned about the Tea Partiers, in particular Ovid LaMontagne, rejecting federal money when we're in a recession and we need everything we can get. But I did want to ask, Maggie, how specifically would you use those federal funds in health care?
Sharon, thanks a lot for the call.
Well, thanks, Sharon. And under the Affordable Care Act, you know, we're already seeing some improvements in our healthcare system. It covers preventive and primary care much better. It's going to help us change the way we reimburse providers so that we get better care at lower cost. It is covering medication for our seniors, so that donut hole that we all talked about for years has gone. And it is doing away with lifetime caps on medical bills under private insurance. So there's some progress we have made already. The money that the federal government is proposing that is optional for states to take is money that would expand Medicaid coverage for our working families. So individuals who now earn $15,000 or less, or families earning $30,000 or less, who can't afford private health insurance now, would have the chance to be covered by Medicaid at 100% cost to the federal government for the first few years and then 90% cost. That would, again, help our working families and working individuals actually access primary and preventive care. And that lowers our costs overall. And it also lowers the costs that those of us who have private insurance pay for the uninsured in our own insurance premiums. So that's how, you know, the federal government is offering the money, but they are requiring that it be used in certain ways. And I think it's really, really important.
Yeah. And Sharon, just to let you know, last Monday, I moderated a debate between Ms. Hassan and Mr. LaMontagne just on health care. The whole debate was about health care. So if you want more, you can go to nhpr.org and listen to that. A quick follow-up on that, though. You said that the federal government will pay 100% of expansion for the first few years, 90% after that. This has come up, Senator Hassan. You know, the federal government doesn't always come through with the funds they say they will. Special education money is sort of Exhibit A. What about that? Will we be left holding the bag?
They've kept their commitment on Medicaid.
All right. Thank you for the call, Sharon. And let's take another one from Amherst. Sydney is calling in from Amherst. Hi, Sydney. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm very concerned about how Representative Hassan feels about basically our education. And in 2007, 2008, I can't remember because I just heard you on the radio, Governor Lynch ran a comprehensive research into autism and what the state was going to do with our growing vast numbers of children with autism.
I remember Sydney. Yeah.
Thank you very much. And I was curious to see, number one, I'm under the impression we've opted out for the NCLB or No Child Left Behind. And also, I have a couple to follow up on that.
Well, Sydney, we are running close to the end of the hour, so if you could just pick your most important question, that would be great.
Okay, how are we going to measure the effectiveness of the teachers? Should we, in fact, visit tenure? And biggest out of the Governor Lynch report was that we absolutely need early identification of children with disabilities.
Yeah, effectiveness of teachers is a huge issue. And, you know, that's one issue, Senator Hassan, with the state opting out of No Child Left Behind. Some people are saying, hooray. Others are saying, look, this put a tough spotlight on teachers, making sure they were indeed leaving No Child Left Behind. You're the mom of a son with disabilities, so I know this is close to your heart.
Sure. Quickly, because I know we are running out of time, I do have a 24-year-old son with cerebral palsy who went through the public school system, and accountability and effectiveness are incredibly important, something that my innovation plan talks about doing. We should be partnering with our educators to make sure that we have effective and engaging curriculum for all students. In contrast, again, elections are about choices. My opponent has talked about essentially doing away with state aid to education. And if he does that, what that will do is increase property taxes and the burden at the local level for educating all of our children. And what will happen is property taxes will go up, class sizes will go up, the quality of our education will go down without the kind of state aid that I have supported. I am very proud of the fact that working with Governor Lynch, I helped pass universal kindergarten and led on it for all of our kids, because we all need to make sure our kids get a good start. So education for all, effectiveness and accountability are something that are very important to me, and I have a very good track record on, as I think the governor does too.
I haven't heard Mr. LaMontagne say, I want to do away with state aid to education.
Well, he supports a constitutional amendment that says that it would be completely up to the legislature about whether or not to fund education. And he has criticized, he said that if we did away with state education aid to local schools, that it wouldn't raise property taxes. And in fact, it would if you're going to keep the same level of funding. And he has supported the diversion of millions of taxpayer dollars to private and religious schools with absolutely no accountability. So he has supported a constitutional amendment that would allow the state to walk away from its obligation to fund our schools.
Boy, and we've done hours and hours and hours and hours of programming on that. But Senator Hassan, that's your interpretation. The other interpretation is the legislature would be in charge, as you said, but no state lawmaker is going to go back to his or her district and say, guess what, folks, I gutted public education.
Well, Ovid has talked about supporting a funding formula that did not support public education well way back in the 80s. So I think when you look at the track record, especially of this legislature willing to cut public higher ed by 50% and did some significant cuts to our local schools already in the last session, I think people should be concerned about that constitutional amendment and that approach from my opponent.
You support a constitutional amendment too, right? Just like Governor Lynch did?
I supported one that was clear that the state still had a commitment and an obligation to make sure every child had a quality education in this state, and something I am very committed to doing. That's distinctly different from the constitutional amendment that my opponent says he would support.
Yeah, and pardon my cynicism, but it's been 17 years, 18 years, 19 years since the constitutional amendment issue first came up in 1987,
right,
after Claremont II. Nobody's been able to do this, Senator Hassan. Why would you be any different?
Well, I've talked about the fact that I want to keep the state's commitment to funding education. And I think that's what we should be focused on, making sure that we have high standards, especially in science, technology, engineering, and math in our K-12 system, and making sure that we have an engaging curriculum that helps our students be prepared for the 21st century economy. That's the focus of our innovation plan.
I want to ask you one last question, and it's more election-related, Senator Hassan. Voter ID, in this election, New Hampshire voters will be, for the first time, asked to show a valid ID. As you know, Republicans say this is a good way to combat fraud. Democrats say it will disenfranchise certain groups who tend to vote Democratic. How worried are you personally that this new law will suppress turnout among Granite Staters who might vote for you?
Well, let's step back for a minute. We are in New Hampshire an all-hands-on-deck kind of state. We all plunge into doing the work ahead, and we move this state forward because we all participate. One of the big differences between my opponent and me is that I want to include everyone economically. We didn't get to talk about women's health in this issue, but it's a huge economic impact because my opponent's positions would increase the cost of basic health care for women because they wouldn't be able to go to Planned Parenthood, which he supports the defunding of, for example. So he also would say that individual Granite Staters can't marry who they choose, another big economic issue for all of us. So then you get to the voter ID bill. Look, the reason I have opposed it is because it suppresses more votes than it protects. We don't have a fraud problem here, and it's really important that we're encouraging everyone to vote. And that's what the focus of any governor should be, and that's what we want people to be able to do. So I'm hopeful that everyone will get out to vote and everyone will understand that they don't have to have a photo ID in this coming election because they'll be able to sign an affidavit if they don't happen to have one.
Well, this has flown by. Senator Hassan, thank you very much for coming in. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's Maggie Hassan again, Democratic nominee for New Hampshire governor. This is The Exchange on NHPR.